All right, we're going to pick up where we left off last time, which is at slide 6.14. We had just finished discussing the ordered insert last time, and we're going to now talk about the ordered remove. Now, there are several cases that we have to handle when doing an ordered remove from a list also. The first case to consider is the case of removing the head of the list. In order to do that, all we do is we first get a pointer, a temporary pointer, and point it to the head. Then we, and you can see the results of that in the slide here, after statement one. Then statement two, we move head, we retarget the head pointer, which was pointing to the first node, to point to the node that follows it. And then we set, and this is sort of arbitrary, we'll set the next node that was in that previous head node, we'll set that to null. That's just for a safety reason. And then we simply delete that node. Now, that of course means that that temporary pointer P that was pointing to it is now undefined. Now, technically, you could argue that step three there, which set that next pointer that was in the node that we're deleting to null, you could argue that that is unnecessary because the node is going to be deleted anyway. It does have a slight useful purpose, though. And the purpose is basically, if in doing our operations like this, when we're manipulating pointers around, if we have a logic error in our code at some point, and we have dangling pointers left around, it's possible, although probably not likely in this case, but it is possible that we might have some other pointer still pointing to this node that we deleted. Well, now, we don't know what happens to that memory when it's deleted. We don't know what inside of it gets changed, if anything. And if we don't bother to delete the node, the pointer that was inside of it, or if we don't bother to make that null first, it's possible that after we deleted it, that memory actually still contains that pointer. And if we have another pointer, a dangling pointer, that references through there and follows that pointer, it could appear as though things are still working correctly, even though we're now going through a dangling pointer. So by nulling out or zeroing out the pointer that was in the node that we're deleting, we're reducing that chance that if we did have a logic error and a dangling pointer, that we could then still end up with some semi-correct code by going through that deleted node. That's really the only purpose of that. It's just there to try and catch a possible logic error that might exist. Now, case two here on the next slide talks about removing a node in the middle of the list. Now, in order to do that, we need to actually get a pointer to the node that precedes the node we're deleting. So if we're wanting to delete node 71, we would need a pointer P to the node that precedes it, which in this case is the node that contains 43. Once we do that, then we set a temporary pointer to point directly to the node we're deleting. So it's set equal to P arrow next. Then we reset the pointer in the preceding node around the target node. So that's by setting P arrow next, that P arrow next is this field. By setting that equal to temp arrow next, this one, we basically bypass that pointer in the logical structure. And then we'll zero out once again that next pointer that's in the node that we're getting ready to delete, and then we'll delete it just to be safe. So there's not too many steps to do that. There any questions about that? I mean, it's really fairly straightforward. And the last case to consider here on slide 616 is the case of where we're deleting the last node in the list, the tail of the list. Once again, we would need the node, we would need a pointer to the preceding node, which in this case would be the next to the last node. And we then do just about the same thing. We set a pointer to point to the tail node, the node we're deleting. We reset the pointer in the preceding node, in this case to null. Then we set that pointer, just to be careful here, although it's really a redundant assignment because it's already null. We set the pointer in the node that we're deleting, the tail node, to null, and then we delete the tail node. Now, if you take these statements and you substitute for these statements that are deleting the tail node, if you substitute for those the statements here from case 2, where we're deleting the preceding node, what you'll find out is that you end up with exactly the same result. And that means that the code for deleting in the middle of the list will also handle the case of deleting at the tail of the list. So we can really combine those two cases. Now, we can then use this knowledge of removing nodes from a list to write sort of some code to handle the removal function for an ordered list. We need a pointer to the previous node in order to bypass the node that we're going to delete. The same sort of thing that we had as a requirement when we were doing an ordered insert, because we needed a pointer to the previous node so that we could insert before that node. In the insert function, what we did, if you recall, is we used two pointers. We used a pointer to the current node and a previous pointer to trail it, and we stepped our way through the list, and then we used the trailing pointer to do the insertion. We could do the same thing here. We could use the same logical technique of using a trailing pointer to do this. However, there's also another way of doing it. I thought I'd show you the other way here. And that's actually, rather than using two pointers, I'm going to use one pointer, but I'm going to do a one-node look ahead, so that I'm going to actually be looking one node ahead to see if not the node that I'm pointing to, but the node that follows that is the one that I want to delete. And if it is, then I'll be pointing to the previous node so that I can delete it. That's called a one node look ahead. It's a very common technique. It's used in a lot of different applications. To start off with, though, we first have to handle the special case of where the list might be empty. If the list is empty, then we can't delete anything, so we just return false. Otherwise, we check to see if we're deleting the first element in the list. That's the first case. So we check to see if the element to be deleted is equal to the element in the head node. And if that's true, of course, we should realize in doing that equality comparison, if those elements are some class object that we're storing in the list, we're assuming that that equality operation is overloaded in that class. And if it is, and that is true, then we do our statements for deleting at the head of the list. We set the head of the list to point to the next node. We set the next pointer that was in that head node to null. And then we delete that head node, which pointer's pointing to. And we return true when we're done. Otherwise, at that point, we know there's at least one node in the list, and it's not the node we're deleting. But before we can start looking ahead, we have to make sure that there is at least two nodes in the list. So we check. If there is only one node in the list, then the next pointer of that head node will be null. If it is, we'll return false, because at that point we didn't delete it, we didn't find it in the head node, and we aren't going to find it anywhere else. So at that point then, we know the list has at least two elements, and we're safe enough to look ahead. So what we'll do is first we'll check if the pointer arrow next is not equal to null. Now what is that checking? That's checking what pointer where? The pointer in the second node, right? That's actually checking to see if the pointer in the second node isn't null. If it is, that would mean that there was only two elements in the list, and we would be done. At that point, that would stop the while loop, and we would come down here and check to see if that element in that second node, pointer arrow, next arrow element, is equal to the one we want to delete. And if it is, we'd go about deleting it. Otherwise, we wouldn't, and we'd return false. Now, assuming that it's not null, then we will check to see if that element here in the while loop, if that element in the second node is equal to the not equal to the element we're going to delete. You might notice I put a not in front of this rather than using the inequality operator. The only reason I did that was so that I would not be assuming. If I put the not in here, and I compared those for inequality, that means I would not only be assuming that the equality operator was overloaded, I'd be assuming that the inequality was also overloaded. By putting it out here in front, I'm only assuming that the equality operator is overloaded. A minor point. And if it's not equal to it, and it's not null, which means there is at least a third node, correct? Then I'll move on to the second node, or I'll move on to the second node. And then from the second node, I'll look to see if there is a fourth node. Oops, just the way you got it. I'll look to see if there's a third node, and I'll compare the element in the third node. And I'll just keep doing that until either I come to the end of the list, which in this case, if I come to the end of the list, I'll be stopping where? I'll be stopping at the next to the last node, because I'm always looking one node ahead. So I'll either stop when I get to that next to the last node, or if I find the element in the node ahead. So when I come out of that while loop, I'll check to see if I stopped the while loop because I found the element. If I stopped it because I found the element in the next node, I'll go ahead and delete it. I'll set my delete pointer to the one I'm going to delete, which is the next node. I'll retarget the pointer in the current node to be one to point to the following node after the node to be deleted. That's what that line does. And then in the node that I'm going to be deleting, I'll set it next to null just for a little safety precaution. Then I'll delete the node, return true. And that's the way you do a one-element look-ahead. I could, and you might, if you want a good little logical exercise to see if you understand how pointers work, you might want to try and code this one up to do a trailing pointer approach. Or go to the ordered insert and code it up to do a one-element look-ahead. Those are the test questions. Hint. All right. Here on slide 618, it discusses an ordered modify function, where basically this looks through to see if it finds a node that contains an element that's equal to the one that's been sent, and if it is, it replaces it. Now, we don't know if that in that equality, if all of the fields are equal, and they probably wouldn't be. And we're assuming then that by replacing the one that's equal to it with this one that we've been sent, that some of those field members are actually different, and we're updating it in a sense, similar to what you need to be doing on this next program. So what I'll do here is I've coded this up so that this function doesn't rely upon Boolean short circuiting. And I should point out that previous function, the order remove, does rely upon Boolean short circuiting. Because before it does the comparison to the element that's one ahead, it checks to make sure that thing does exist. So if it doesn't, it stops it from ever checking that. Actually, it's checking it two ahead, so it's checking to make sure that it does exist the next time it gets down here. But it does sort of rely upon it. Now, this modify function does not rely upon it. And the way you do this is basically with a guard if statement, with an if statement that prevents you from accidentally dereferencing a null pointer by basically always checking it first. So you can see what I've done here is I've set up a temporary pointer p equal to the head to the first element in the list, and I've set a found element to false. I haven't found it yet, and I've got an end of list boolean, and that's going to be true if the head is null to begin with. That lets me know that I'm at the end of the list. So I'll come down here and I'll check. If I'm not at the end of the list, then I know that at least one element exists. And so I can go ahead and set found element to see whether or not the first element is equal to the element I'm trying to modify. And then I just go into my while loop. So I'm not at the end of the list, and I haven't found the element I'm looking for. If that's true, then I know it wasn't at the beginning of the list, or the list was null. I'll come down here then, and I'll move up to the next node in the list. I'll set p equal to p arrow next. And then I'll determine if I'm at the end of the list. Did that make p equal to null? If it did not, if I'm not at the end of the list, then I can go ahead and check the element. It's safe to dereference p. And I can check the element in this list to see if it's equal to the one to be modified. And that's basically the way I do the list traversal in a very safe manner that doesn't rely upon Boolean short-circuiting to protect me from accidentally dereferencing a null pointer. It just adds a few extra checks to the code to be able to do this in a safe manner. And then when I stop that while loop, I just check to see if I found the element. If I did, I reset it and return true. Otherwise, I just return false down here because I didn't find it, so I couldn't modify it. Questions?
Won't that code
never
work? Because if you set the P element to the mod element, you're checking with it.
Right, if I set what?
That's already equal to mod element, but you also need to be mod element to try to find the
one
to modify.
Yeah, now I'm assuming that equality check is an overload operation.
Okay.
And that it might only be checking one member in there, or maybe one or two members of that whole object to see if they're equal. And I'm assuming that this mod element object contains other members which have different values that are the update values. Okay? Other questions? All right. Well, that pretty much finishes up the linked list mechanics discussion for a single linked list. And technically, we were actually doing a singular, non-circular linked list. There is a little variation of a linked list, of a single linked list, called a circular list. In this case, none of the pointers in the list are null. And the pointer for the element that would be in the node, the last node, actually contains a pointer back to the first node. Now, this becomes useful at times. If you need to store information where you don't really care maybe about the order, and you maybe don't care which one is the first one in the list, then you can just make it circular. You can move your pointer around here in a circle, and you never really have to sort of keep track of one node as always being the head node. So it does become useful at times. It does become a little bit of a challenge when you're writing the code to detect when you've traversed all of the list. You have to be careful. Usually the way to do it, how would you go about doing that? If your pointer into the list could be any of these nodes, and you need to do a complete list traversal to check every node, how would you know when you're finished if you're also going to then be moving that pointer to the next one each time? Yeah, there are a couple ways. One way would be to set a temporary pointer to where you're starting from, and each time when you move, you check to see if the pointer that you've moved to, or the node that you've moved to that you're pointing at, is equal to the one you started from, that you saved. That's one way. There's another way. That's one other way. You can keep track of how many, you can keep a count of how many nodes are in there. I'm trying to think of a real tricky way to do it.
You could set one of your elements to be a flag that'll let you know if, like, that you go to the edge.
Well, that would be equivalent, basically, though, to you could have some kind of a flag field in there to set it to let you know that you're starting here. But that would be almost equivalent to storing a temporary pointer at your starting point. Yeah, you could actually store the address, but that would almost be the same as just copying the pointer. Storing the address would almost be the same as copying the pointer, since the pointer contains the address, right? I was just thinking if there was a tricky way to do it. That's equivalent. Yeah, you gotta be careful doing that. And I thought of that. But that's almost equivalent to doing it the other way. What you could do is you could go ahead and sort of move to here, hold a pointer to here, and then set this one to null. And when you got back around and found this to null, you would know, okay, I've got where I'm at. But then you've got to be careful that now, how do you get back to this one to reset it? You'd also have to save it. So now you're saving a couple extra things. It doesn't really work. There is no real good way to do it other than those ways we just pointed out, I don't think.
You can't assume that when you allocate new memory that it will be in order, right?
Absolutely not. No. No, you cannot compare the values of the pointers to see if one is greater than another one. You cannot absolutely do that. That'll screw your code up entirely. All right. There's also, besides single linked lists, it becomes quite useful a lot of times to create what's known as double linked lists. So that instead of storing one pointer to the next node in a node, we store two pointers, one to the next node and one to the previous node. That means then that when we're doing insertions and deletions, we don't have this problem of having to always look one element ahead, because we can always get to the previous node or the next node if we need to. So it makes it a little bit simpler in that respect. It makes it a little bit more complicated in the respect that we now have to store more pointers, so we're wasting a little bit more storage. And two, we now have more pointers that we have to manipulate and keep straight. So it means that our code that keeps all those pointers up to date gets to be a little bit more complex, a little bit more code to do that. Now we can have non-circular double linked lists, and we can have circular double linked lists, where the next and the last node points back to the first one, and the previous pointer in the first node points to the last one. Here's, on this next slide, 6.20 is the way that you would declare double linked lists. If you're declaring a non-circular double linked list, then what you usually do is first you push your type to find your item type, as always, so that we have some type independence between what we're storing in the list, so it doesn't have to be concerned with what we're storing in the list. Then we will do a forward declaration for our node type. We'll define a pointer to a pointer type to our node, and then we'll define our node, holding the element and the previous and next pointers. And for a double-linked list that's non-circular, it's quite common to actually declare a structure for that to hold that, to hold two pointers, a pointer to the first node and a pointer to the last node. That's fairly common. And then you define an instance of that structure so that you have a, so that you have two pointers that you can hold, point to the first and the last node. Now, in a circular linked list, you don't bother with holding a pointer to the first and the last node because you can always get to them if you have a pointer to one or the other. And so the declarations look exactly the same, except you just don't bother with that extra structure to hold both of the first and last pointers. Now, in order to do insertions and deletions or removals from double linked lists, it just gets a little bit more complicated, not much more. Here on slide 621 is an example of inserting 83 into an ordered linked list. So if we've got Q pointing to if we've got Q pointing to a node that we want to insert after, and we have P pointing to a new node that we've put our value into that we want to insert after, then we would need to do these four assignments here. We'd set P arrow previous equal to Q. That sets the previous of this new node to point to the previous node. We set P arrow next equal to Q arrow next, which at the moment is pointing to 96. So that sets the next of this new node to point to the next node. Then we set Q arrow next equal to P. That sets the next of the previous node to point to this one. And then we have to go to P arrow next arrow previous. We now have to go through this next node, next pointer that we stored, to get to the previous pointer of the next node to set it to point to this one. And the order here is a little important, because if we change the order, we'll end up losing pointers to certain nodes, and our structure will become screwed up. So you have to be a little bit careful with the order. When you're writing code, and you're doing this, if you're not absolutely sure that in your mind you're forming these mental models correctly as you write this code that's doing this pointer manipulation, just take a moment to draw out a diagram and diagram it out as you make these changes. There'll be less chance that you'll be making an error in that case, and you'll say there'll be less of a chance that you'll have to try and debug some pointer logic error. Eventually, with enough practice, you'll get to where you can, as you're writing pointer code like this, you'll be able to see the structures in your mind being changed as you write the code. And to do a deletion here on the next slide, if we want to delete, a delete's pretty simple. If we want to do a delete, then we first reset. We go to P arrow previous arrow next. That gets to the next node of the previous node, and we reset that to P arrow next so that it points around this node that we're deleting. Then we set P arrow next arrow previous, the previous of the next node, to be equal to P arrow previous. So we retarget the previous pointer of the next node around this node, and then we just delete it. We are being extra careful here by setting the next and the previous of this node that we're deleting to null. Once again, just to make sure that if we had, just to be doubly safe in case we had a dangling pointer laying around somewhere. And if we're deleting the head, we just need to check for that first. Now, what if the list only has one element? What would happen here if this list only has one element? What would be wrong with this code for deleting the head if the list only has one element? Say, wait a minute.
What would you
So this would be setting the list if there's only one node, it's and it's a circular list, its next and its previous would be pointing to itself, the same node.
Right.
And if we set D list, which would be the external pointer, equal to P, which P would be pointing to that node, arrow previous, that would be setting D list equal to itself. And if we then deleted that node, then D list would be dangling. Okay? So, not only do we have to check the special case of where we're deleting the head, we also have to check to see if that's the only node in that list that we're deleting. If we could check here afterwards, we could check if D list equals P in this case. After we do that assignment, then we would know that there's only one node in the list that we're getting ready to delete, and we'd have to set D list equal to null in that case to indicate that the list is empty. All right. Now, so far we've been talking about storing a linked list in using pointers. There is a way that you can store a linked list not using pointers. You basically use an array of structures, and an array of structures where the node is a structure in the array. So you have an array of nodes, an array of structures, and the node or the structure in each array location will have a storage for the item that we're storing there, and a link, which will just be an index. And we'll use that index to refer to another node in the list. So what we will have then, for our external list pointer, it won't really be a pointer, it'll be an index. So list here having the value of 2 means that the node at the second index is the first node in the list. And it has the element C stored in there. And the next node is at 7, which means the next node is a G. And then the next one is a 1, which is a G. The next one is a 5, which is a K. The next one is an 8, which is an R. The next one is a 3, which is an X. And the next one isn't really at negative 1. We use negative 1 to represent the null link, or the null index. That's just by convention. That means when we get to a node that contains a link having a negative 1 value, we've reached the end of the list. That would logically be equivalent to storing a list that contains these elements. Now, in this array, besides storing the list, we also have to keep track of which nodes are not being used, which nodes that we can use later for available storage to add things into the list. And we do that with an available point, an available link. The avail link here has a value of 6. That indicates that the 6th node is not being used. The 6th node refers to the 0th node. That indicates that the 0th node is also not being used. The 0th node refers to the 9th node, which refers to the 4th node. So all of those nodes are connected together, and they form our available pool, a linked list of 3 nodes. In order to delete a node from the available pool, we code up a function called allocate new node. The allocate new node removes the first node in our available list and returns its index for us to use to insert into the list that's actually being stored in this array of nodes. And when we delete a node or remove a node in our regular list, we return it to the available pool by using a function that we code up called freeNode. And freeNode just reattaches that node that has been deleted at the head of the available list so that it can perhaps get reused later. There's no ordering on this available pool list. and the operations to be efficient just operate upon the head of the list. And the link field just contains the index to the next available node. And the item fields may contain leftover values, which we just ignore, which will get restored over if the node gets reused. So here on slide 624, let me go back to the previous slide. If we were wanting to insert a new value into this list, a value that had the value of A, for example, what would we do? Well, we would need to get a new node. We would need to get a node that we could use to store it in. Well, we would call allocate new node. That would take the first node from the available pool, which is 6, and it would return it to us. And we would store A in 6. Then we would determine where A goes at in this list, and we would find that it actually goes before the very first one, which is C. So we would need to set A, the node containing A, to point to C. So we would need to set the length of 6 to point to 2. And then we would need to set list, which was pointing to C, to point to A. So we would change it to point to 6. And available, which was pointing to 6, which we're now using, would get set to the value of 0 because it's the next available node. And so here's the result that would come about from doing that insert of the A value into the list. Now, if we take that's our new list now, and our new memory changes for the array of nodes. If we were then wanting to remove an element, let's say X in the list, from up here, we first go through and find out if the list contained X, it does. What would we have to do at that point? Once we determine that this node here contains X, which is the value that we want to delete, what would we have to do? We have to make 8 point to null. 8 was the previous node. So we would set the length of A to really be the length of this node that we're deleting, which in this case is -1, which would make it null.
Right.
And then what would we do?
We have to make 3 points.
Yeah, we then want to make this node available. So we need to do what? We need to set what to what?
The
length of 3 equal to 0, which is available. And then we would set what? Avail to 3. And there's the results of doing that. And you should be able to see that logically, this ends up giving us the same sort of advantages. It's just about dead. The same sort of advantages of being able to do inserts without having to do shifts using pointers as using an array of nodes like this. Except in this case, we aren't using the dynamic memory allocation built into the language. We're doing all of that ourselves if we do it like this. Now, we're not going to do that in this class, but it's not that complicated. You will have to do it in later classes. In some of your later classes, you will have to do this. You will, because it'll become an advantage to manage your own dynamic memory, in a sense. Okay. Here on slide 6.25, which is also the last slide in this chapter, is the implementation of the ordered insert by doing it upon an array of nodes. If you compare this function with the function back on slide 6.13, you'll see that the logic is pretty much identical. And it should be, because all we're doing is an insert into a linked list. The only thing that's different here is the underlying representation. On 613, the underlying representation is with pointers. On 625, we're assuming that the underlying representation of the linked list is with an array of nodes. The logic's the same. It's still a linked list that we're doing the insert into. The only thing that changes is how we manipulate the pointers or the links, the syntax for storing the element in the nodes or changing the nodes. That's the only difference between this set of code, this code here, and that code on 613. Okay. Anybody got any questions on this? All right. Since my voice is about gone, that's it for today. Thank you.